Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I'm your host, Joanna Juvelis. And today we're going to be talking to Select Board Vice Chairman Roy Epstein. Roy is running for re-election to the Select Board in the upcoming election, April 5th. This will be his second term serving on the board if he wins, which right now it looks like he will, because as of today, which is January 26th, there is no one else running for Select Board. However, the deadline is February 16th for people to pull papers and file papers. So we'll see if that happens. Right, Roy? Roy, welcome.
Yep. I'm very curious to see what happens by February 16th. Yeah.
So for people who aren't familiar with Roy, which I don't know who wouldn't be by now, I will just give a little brief introduction. And thank you again for coming on the show. Roy, I know that you live in Belmont with your wife, Joanna, same name as me. You've lived here since 1994, and you are currently semi-retired, right? You were an economics professor at Boston College, my alma mater.
Yes, but my principal activity was actually doing something called litigation consulting. And okay. So I'm fully retired from Boston College and semi-retired from litigation consulting.
But you are an expert economist, is that right?
Yes.
So you are definitely a numbers guy, which is why you may have won, you know, the seat the first time around and why you'll most likely win it again the second time. I mean, I think a lot of people know that you are good at numbers and you have found solutions to problems. For instance, was it just refresh my memory? You found money for the DPW and police station project, which just happened.
Well, it wasn't so much finding money as finding a strategy to work with the money that we had, and
it's all about, right? That's yes. What it's all about: working with the money we have, which I know isn't much.
Yeah, and I would say that's what I'm bringing to the table for the most part, is just finding ways to get things done.
Well, it's nice to see you running again. And I can't believe the last time I had you on the show, we did a New Year's show. It was December of 2020. I think I interviewed you outside of Starbucks. It was like for a 10-year, looking at the past decade and the decade to come. And did we ever anticipate that COVID would be in this new decade?
No. In fact, I can't believe that was 2 years ago. It just seems like a blur.
I know. I can't believe it either. So speaking of blur, when you look back at the last 3 years since you were elected, how does it make you feel?
Personally, it's been a source of growth. There have been a lot of challenges, and I'd like to think that we were successful in meeting most of them, not all of them, but it's been very interesting to me personally, and I'd like to think that it's been beneficial to the town.
Well, speaking of challenges, when you say challenges, when you were chair, you served as chair, it was the height of COVID. Meetings were Zoom only, participation was very high. It was also the aftermath of Henry Tapia's death, the Black man killed by a white man in Belmont. The override was on the ballot. Times were very tense, as they still are, but probably more so. And many people would run from such a situation. They might have resigned, or they would say, I'm definitely not running again when my seat's up. So how are you able to face, you know, how are you able to face this difficult time, and how are you willing to continue to face it?
Well, in part, I have the time to do it, but I also think that for all of the issues that you mentioned, and actually, I think there were many more.
I'm sure there were.
I think we actually came up with constructive solutions for the most part. So it makes me think that if we can continue a winning streak like that, I'm happy to do it.
Well, I know it definitely takes time, and you have it, which is good because you're semi-retired. Why do you think no one else has stepped up to the plate and thrown their name in the...
Well, it's... I think for many people, it's actually not very appealing. I have to say, with COVID and with the particular issues that have come along, particularly when I was chair, I would say this consumed, you know, sometimes 15, 20, even 25 hours a week. And that's just a difficult commitment for many people to make, but I was able to do it.
You are. Now, Belmont is a town with considerable diversity. However, it's often divided when it comes to issues such as leaf blowing, ride, the rink, the library, the community path, parking. Is it possible to, I mean, as a select board member, that's challenging when you have two different sides, and then it's up to the three of you to make a decision that, you know, hopefully will satisfy both sides in some way. So how do you do that?
I have a somewhat old-fashioned view of things. I would say maybe from the 18th century that I think it is possible to step back and look at a situation in a genuinely objective way, collect as much information as you can. And I, you know, you'd be surprised how often a sufficient number of people agree on what's reasonable. You can't satisfy everybody, but I think, you know, Abraham Lincoln said that. But on most issues that have come up, there's been a majority view that feels that there's a reasonable way to proceed, and the processes that we have generally have been able to find it. You know, when there's been issues, and I, you know, and I've said publicly, you know, things like civil service, if something doesn't work out, then either you try again or you abandon it. But, you know, I think that we've been able thus far to find solutions, so that gives me optimism that we will continue to find solutions.
Well, what would you say is the greatest disappointment? Something that you said you tried and you'll try again, so like civil service, like the fuel tank replacement. I mean, what would you say failed over the past 3 years that, you know, besides the override? I mean, what would you say failed that you definitely hope to try again over the past 3 years?
Well, that's a good question. From my point of view, I think civil service and also the fuel tanks are one which, you know, you never know. Certainly I was in my first term and I was a fairly new chair of the select board. You know, sometimes you're caught by surprise what issues really get the focus of a lot of attention. And, you know, civil service was one of those, and we just didn't do enough groundwork. I've learned now that when an issue comes before a town meeting that's really controversial, you have to start doing the preparation way in advance of town meeting. It's not enough to do it the week or two before or a month before. It's a lengthy process.
Right. So can you explain to our viewers who may not be familiar what the civil service is that town meeting didn't approve? What were we trying to make happen? And do you think we'll try again?
Well, this is revisiting an issue that's now almost a year and a half old, but many people in town, myself included, came to believe that civil service was an outmoded form of employee protection, and that's what it is.
This is for police and fire.
Well, currently in Belmont, it's police and fire. At one time, it also included public works, but public works left civil service maybe, I don't know, 20 or 25 years ago.
So when the police and fire department have an opening, they have to use this civil service method to fill that opening, right? There's a list that they get, and they can only work with that list of potential candidates. They can't do their own independent outside search, right?
It's limited that way, and it makes the hiring process actually very prolonged and expensive for reasons I don't need to get into, but it makes the process long and expensive.
Right.
And it also, importantly for those two departments, it really limits the diversity of the pool. So I think the board felt and town administrator felt and others in town felt that it was possible to make a more efficient hiring process, get a more diverse pool of candidates, and maintain the same level of worker protection using collective bargaining mechanisms that have emerged since civil service was adopted. You know, that was back in 1911 or 1915 or something like that. But, you know, town meeting didn't agree. And, it's important enough to pursue this that we are going to pursue this. Not this spring, perhaps, but at some point in the future.
Is another reason you're running because there is some unfinished business that you feel like you just don't want to abandon? Are there priorities you would say that you've identified, things that you really hope to accomplish the next 3 years that you didn't get to accomplish these past 3 years?
I would say the most important unaddressed issues are, for me, the capital budget requirements of the town. Even when there was the discussion of the override a year ago, the focus was really on the operating budget. And I don't think there was sufficient discussion of really urgent capital needs. And we're talking about a good amount of money there.
Such as like the rink and the library.
Well, rink, library, the school buildings are going to they're going to require a lot of money. You're talking about buildings like Butler School, that they're just old. They require work. Even Chenery, my older son went to Chenery, I think the first year it opened, but that building is now 25 years old. And it's just an iron law of economics that buildings just run down. And
Last 50 years, but it doesn't always happen.
Well, but they only last that long if they're kept up.
Yeah. Do you feel like Belmont is doing a good job of maintaining what it has?
I think it needs to do more. Part of that also is I think our town departments are really leanly staffed. And at some point, there's a limit to how much you can ask people to do. You know, ever since I was on the warrant committee and was in charge of the subcommittee that reviewed DPW, I've always felt that DPW was asked to do an awful lot with the resources they were given. Their staffing, compared to what the number of people who used to work there, the staffing is down by 30% or something like that. So that, you know, a lot of services end up getting curtailed. The residents might not even see it because it's unglamorous stuff like cleaning out sewer grates and things like that.
But although we have seen the trash in Belmont Center, I think that's getting better finally. But
well, yeah, and I, you know, that's something which I think was an example of an issue. When you think about it, there's a way to do it, and it actually didn't cost that much. So for $10,000, I think is what it came down to, or $15,000 mm-hmm. for the season.
Yeah.
The trash in Belmont Center and the other business centers could be greatly improved, and also the parks. So it's, you know, in many issues that come up, a lot of times there's no, you know, cookbook formula for how to deal with it. It really requires somebody to take an interest and study it.
And that's what you do, right?
That's what I like to do.
That is what you like to do.
Somebody has to care.
In July of 2020, that was a good month, I think, Roy, because there was a very short window of in-person meetings where we didn't have to wear masks. Remember that?
Barely.
I wonder if we'll ever be there again. Some people say, or I should say many people say, Belmont is too strict. Other neighboring towns like Burlington and Woburn have lifted the mask mandate. Many say this strictness has hurt business like Jamaica Jeff's, which recently closed. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I'm hesitant to make predictions. A lot of people complained about the mask restriction when we put it back on in August. And I said my hope was that it was a temporary inconvenience, but you know, temporary has now become 6 months. But the signs, and partly because Omicron really was a surprise. But the signs are that, you know, there may be really an end in sight. So, you know, I would ask people to put up with it for a little while longer. And I'm sure that we will do something that makes sense. There are, what people have to realize is that there are very strong points of view held by the residents of Belmont. And it's like a 360 degree range of opinion. So even if something might make sense, you have to persuade enough people that it's the right thing to do. So the mask mandate, I agree, it's probably reaching the limits of its usefulness, but we still have to bring people along before making that change.
Have you noticed the vacancies that just keep getting more and more?
And
Cushing Square. Yeah.
It's very disturbing. Yes.
Is the select board, I know there's an economic development committee, or is there anything that can be done to try to, you know, increase the revenue by getting these businesses back? Or do these businesses even help Belmont's revenue? They do, right? If they're a restaurant that helps our revenue, we probably want more restaurants, don't we?
I should watch what I say because I've been influenced by my European friends who would like much more eating and drinking. But I think there's a limit to what the town can do. We can, you know, the business environment, such as having enough parking or having, I would actually like to consider changing our liquor laws a little bit to make it easier to serve alcohol in restaurants. But, you know, anytime you want to make a change, you'd be surprised how much controversy it generates. But for basic things like, you know, the biggest expenses that a restaurant faces right now, like getting help, you know, the town can't really assist restaurants finding wait staff and dishwashers and that sort of thing. And the rents are high in Belmont, but we can't tell landlords what to charge. So that we can work most effectively with things that are under the town's control, like some of the regulations and parking. And I thought the summer hours in Belmont Center went very well. We can do that again. But for the fundamental issue about finding somebody with enough courage to open a restaurant in Belmont, that's, you know, that there's a limit to what the select board can do.
Now, it'll be interesting to see what does fill all these vacancies.
Yeah.
Time will tell, and you can read about it for sure. I'll be writing about it. So there seems to be about a $3 million shortfall from the Belmont High School project, which I'm sure you've been hearing about. They're going to be talking about this at an upcoming meeting, and the high school building committee has to figure out how they're going to make cuts to so that they can stay on budget. And, you know, the high school project is not done. It's phase two is what's happening. They're building, you know, the grade 7 and 8 portion of the building. So this is this could affect what they do west of Harris Field. It could affect solar panels. There's many things that could be cut as a result of this. So you are aware of this, right?
Yes.
How do you think this happened, Roy? I mean, from what I understand, they were looking at about $300,000 in December, and all of a sudden they announced earlier this month that it's $3 million. So within a month, it jumped from $300,000 to $3 million. And I know they're still working on these numbers, and we'll present it, you know, in more detail again in early February. But how did something like this happen? What went wrong here?
I don't know in detail, but I can tell you, since I was much closer to the police station project and the DPW project, you know, unexpected things always happen in a construction project. Mm-hmm. I think the circumstances at the high school were different than the police station. But my understanding is that they incurred a lot of overtime that was not contemplated because they really needed to be open by September 1. And the overtime was expensive. I think there were some engineering questions that caused some unexpected expense. And there's a pile of dirt out there, which as we learned from the police station, disposal of soil can be very expensive. So lots of things can conspire against you, which is why these projects have contingencies in them. But now I guess the question is whether the contingency in the high school is sufficient. I can tell you that the building committee is meeting to do what the name is, value engineering. You know, they had a round of value engineering when the project first started.
Yeah.
And they're going to go back and see what can be done about the second half of the project. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. There is some exploration of how to address some of the larger ticket items that remain. So there may yet be a solution, but this is when committees are really challenged to solve problems that come up. And I'm hopeful now that there will be a solution for this. I do not want it to go over budget. I think that would be very damaging for other projects such as library and hockey rink. So that I think the school needs to find a way to come in on budget.
Well, since you mentioned the library and the hockey rink, let's talk about that next. These are two projects that really need to get done. The library has many issues, you know. Anyone that's seen the campaign for their fundraising knows, or toward the building knows, that it's a very old building and it's more cost effective to just tear it down and rebuild. And the rink, if anybody's been there recently, as I actually was, you know, it's definitely very run down. It's still functioning and being used a lot, though, same as the library. But it could fail, according to, you know, other people, it could fail at any time, and then that would be disastrous. Same for the library, right? I mean, so how are we going to get these projects done, Roy? I mean, the override didn't pass, a debt exclusion, the likelihood of that passing, I don't know. So is there a way to get any of these things done without an override, or without a debt exclusion?
No, well, the library definitely needs a debt exclusion. I don't see any way around that. The current building, from all that I've heard and seen, is it's not worth spending a significant amount of money to fix it. I don't, it's not cost effective to to work with it. So a new building is necessary. The voters are going to have to decide whether the plan that's been proposed is acceptable. You know, to me, it looks okay, but, you know, people can differ on that. But for the basic question of should the town have a library, I think the answer is clear. Yes, I can't imagine the town not having a library, and a library is going to require debt exclusion. The rink is an interesting question. You know, the committee that has been appointed recently is going to explore ways of specifying a rink that might be less costly than what the architect had ballparked a year ago or last spring. I forget when exactly. Last spring.
Okay. That's
good. But it's still going to be a significant amount of money. I'm curious to see what the Rink Finance Committee will propose. They have not announced a plan thus far. I have some thoughts of my own, but I'm going to wait for the Rink Finance Committee to release their proposal before commenting on that further. But I would say now, as I've said before, I think there's a way to do it that would actually be an easy pill for the town to swallow.
When do you see either of these projects, a debt exclusion for either, being on a town ballot?
Well, the library...
Are they planning?
The library really expects to be on the ballot in November of this year.
Right, right.
You know, when you do the math between the time a debt exclusion is on the ballot and a building is actually built, so much time goes by that I don't think the current building will still be serviceable. So you kind of get locked into a schedule that starts this year for the library, and probably something similar for the rink, because it's it's in very dilapidated condition.
Do you think it would be a good idea to package the debt exclusion for both projects? Combine them?
Well, people have certainly proposed that. I'm not persuaded that's the best strategy, but I really want to wait for the Rink Finance Committee to make their report to see what the best strategy might be. I think I want a strategy that maximizes the probability of getting both.
Yes. So,
but that's still a work in progress.
We could actually talk all day about everything going on in Belmont, couldn't we? But we are limited to 30 minutes. I want to just talk about what recently happened, and that is the news that Town Administrator Patrice Garvin was a finalist for the Reading Town Manager position. So as it turns out, they chose another candidate. So she is still with Belmont, but there was that short period of time where you were potentially going to lose Belmont's town administrator. We're also now without an assistant town administrator. So that would have been two vacancies. Luckily, we still have Patrice. So the question I guess I have is, how is Belmont going to keep her?
Well, her contract runs for a couple of years, so
she was prepared to break that, and she has that right. But the question is, how is the select board, now that they've kind of had this red flag, is the select board doing anything to prepare for, okay, what if this happens again, or just trying to prevent it from happening again? You know, I don't know how you can. I don't know.
Well, Patrice is here. You know, I have stated publicly my support for Patrice over the last 2 years. And I still think Patrice is a tremendous asset for the town. It's an extremely difficult job. People have no idea what the range of responsibilities are for the town administrator, and how humanly difficult it is to fulfill that. I think Patrice is doing an outstanding job. We have posted for the assistant town town administrator slash finance director, and I expect that position will be filled sometime by springtime. Mm-hmm. And that will be the team. And if something changes at that point, we'll worry about it if it happens.
Is there a possibility that Belmont could make the town administrator position a town manager position? And I'm not sure if there's really a difference. Is it just a different, or is there really different responsibilities?
People have said that in the past, but if you actually, I revisited that question because I looked at what actually goes on in Reading, because that was a town manager position. There's not actually a great deal of difference between the structure in Reading and the structure in Belmont. The principal difference, really, organizationally, is that the treasurer in Reading reported to the town manager, and in Belmont, the treasurer is an independently elected position. But otherwise, the scope of responsibility for the town administrator in Belmont is very comparable to Reading. So I don't really see that as a, there wouldn't, I don't see the advantage of moving. I don't even see what it would mean to move to a town manager in Belmont.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that we are probably running out of time. Might have time for one more question. So
sure.
I'll ask you, or just I'll just mention that as of today, which is January 26th, there is one race in the upcoming election. Do you know what that is?
Well, the light board.
The three people running for a two-year seat. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So light board is actually a new position on the ballot. There are five of them, five seats, and it's nice to see that there's so many people interested. Why did this become something that they decided? I know town meeting voted to have it be an elected position versus appointed. What do you think about that? Do you think that was a good move? And
oh yeah, oh, I think I was the source of the initial effort to make these elected a separately elected board. I think it's fine. I went out on a limb last spring and said I thought there would be a sufficient number of people interested in running, and sure enough, it's a contested race.
Why do you think it's better for it to be elected versus appointed?
I think just for the independents. There was a concern before that the select board making appointments, then the light board becomes an instrument of the select board and being independently elected. I think it's really a separate business. It requires separate oversight. And the people who are running, I think there are very qualified candidates who are running. So I think it'll be fine. The selectmen did not have enough time to do proper oversight over the light board. And I think just breaking it off as a separate activity is the right way to go.
Okay. Well, looking ahead, 3 years from starting on April 5th, what are you most passionate about? What do you really hope to accomplish during that time? What do you hope to change?
I hope to make progress on the backlog of PAC capital projects, which runs everywhere from school buildings, town buildings, roads, water mains, sewer. You know, the water main in my street was installed in 1898.
Oh, wow.
There's a backlog of things to do, and I want to make sure we get to it. There are unexpected things that come up all the time, whether it was the high school parking issue or something like where somebody just needs to find a solution. And I think high school parking is on the way to finding a good solution. And there are other examples. I'm concerned about 40B, frankly. We didn't talk about the Beatrice Circle project, but
Well, I know that that's still kind of not, we thought that was put to bed, but not quite.
Well, it's in litigation, but, you know, there will be a challenge for that sort of development in Belmont for the next couple of years. You know, the governor has passed a new zoning requirement where there has to be a multifamily development within a half mile of an MBTA station. Mm-hmm. Belmont is so built up, there's not a lot of room for that, but it's going to be a mandate. So there's going to be no lack of questions to deal with in the next 3 years.
I know. And these developers that have that project proposed with Beatrice Circle, they are known for having more than one project in a town. So yeah. More coming.
And I suspect that other developers are looking at them to see how it goes. And then, you know, other people will pile in potentially, depending on how this one works out.
Yeah. I do wish we had more time. And I think the only other thing I'll just mention is the Bradford project.
Yep.
Bradford project in Cushing Square is done, but the retail part of it is not being rented. And for those that don't know that, it's because there is a lawsuit that just keeps dragging on and on and on between the former owner of the property and the current new owner. And it's basically over the rights to the retail. So the former owner wants the rights to that retail, and Toll Brothers says, sorry, you can't have it anymore because basically the cost of the cleanup exceeded this amount that we agreed on, and you didn't pay it. You were supposed to, and you didn't pay it. So that's kind of the long and short of it. And as a result, a lot of businesses in Cushing Square are suffering as they have been. They were all hoping that maybe these stores would get rented so that there'd be more foot traffic, et cetera. So can the town do anything? Is there anything the town can do? Can you talk to a store?
This seems to be a nightmare scenario of two private parties who are fighting each other. And I don't know that the town has any role to play. This is a business dispute that is most unfortunate, but I don't see how I don't see what role the town could play. We don't have any rights in the project. Mm-hmm. We were paid $1 million for the parking lot, which is that's money in the bank. But in terms of sorting out these disputes over rights to the retail, I don't know what we can do. I'm just hoping that the apartments are rented. I live very close to there. I walk by in the evening and I try to count how many lights are on in the apartment.
Oh, really? How does it look?
Well, there are more than before, but I think they have a ways to go still.
Okay. Well, at least Starbucks is still there, right, Roy?
Well, Starbucks, yeah, they seem, yes, very indestructible. They're always there.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I wish you luck in the upcoming election.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Joanna.
And maybe there'll be a debate, or maybe there won't. We'll see what happens. Yeah. February 16th. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I will buzz off for now.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye. See you later.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.